Boker Tov world. Today's daf in our new Mesechet Menachot is Daf Gimel. But we went ahead a lot yesterday in Daf Gimel. I'm going to go over it again today, and I'd like to give an overall perspective, but only if there are human beings here. It's hard to give overall perspective to squiggles on screens, so I won't talk to you unless you're actually present. Well. Some intelligent life does exist out there. A little bit. Still missing. I understand the people that are worried about the bears, and I understand the people that are hanging out in their cars. But what about the people like Akivales? How come they're not here? All right.
I hear you.
But I don't see you.
I'm seeing.
You are there?
Yeah.
Oh, you're in the wrong BB. I see. That's Yakiras. Okay. And the bears have let Handy go, so we can now move ahead. Okay. Now let's try that again. Today's daf in Mesechet Menachot is Daf Gimel, and we went ahead in Daf Gimel yesterday, but let's do a review and get a perspective and also get a more of a profound understanding of why we're going through all of this stuff here. So remember that in our Mishnah, we had what was basically a repeat of the opening Mishnah in Zvachim, and we talked about the concept of Lishma and Shalom Lishma Lagabi Minochas. We talked about the four Matirim of a Mincha, which are connected to four Matirim of the Zevach, where the Zevach has Shchita, Kabbalah, and Halacha, and the actual Zrika Sadam when it comes to the Mincha. We have the equivalent of Kmita, Nisina Bikli, Halacha, and Haktara. Each one of those is one of the four Matirin. And the Mishnah taught us the same Halacha about Shalom Lishma and Shalom Lishma V'lishma that we had in the Mesechet Zvachim. However, we ran up here against a new idea, which was Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon here wanted to say that the concept of Shalom Lishma is not applicable to Menachas. Because when it comes to a Mincha, it's obvious that when you say something, if you're, what it is that you're actually doing is stands in direct physical contrast to what you're saying, then what you're saying is meaningless. That's what Rabbi Shimon seems to be saying. Now I want to go over that with you, because we're going to find different ways in which we're going to kvetch what he says to try to mean something else. And the reason for that is because he definitely contradicts himself and he had an opposite idea. But before we do that, I would like to explain to you why it's important for us to open a new Mesechet with these gory details about what is considered to be a Shalom Lishma and what type of Aveda is going to be affected. And all of these details, we go through various situations with Ofos and various situations with Zvachim. And it's quite clear when the Gemara does that, it does that for purposes of the overall contrast and getting to the bottom of the three types of issues that we're talking over here. Why is there a need, Bedavka, in Menachas, to look into what Shalom Lishma would mean? And why would we go into it in such agonizing detail right at the beginning of the Mesechet before we've barely got into the ideas of Menachas? So let's remember that the entire concept of Kachim, remember, Seder Kachim, as the Gemara taught us in Shabbos, is called Chochmas. And we talked about that in Zvachim and how it is that the Chochmah of Adam, his Dibor, and the meaning of every last word in a Pasuk is meant to add up to a totality of an understanding and interrelationship with Bria. But when it comes to Menachas, we have a very special additional point, and that is the Torah introduces the idea of Menachas with a new word, which is called Nefesh. So that's, for some reason, Nefesh ki takriv mincha. What is that Nefesh? So we know the famous Chazal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu views the Matana of an Oni kiilu hikrivet nafsho, because for him, every last thing that he's bringing to the Beis HaMikdash is expensive, it's difficult, it's painful, and if he's into it, then he's into it with his whole soul. All right, but that points to something, which is that if we want to understand more deeply the interrelationship of the innermost feelings of a person and his thoughts when it comes to Kachim, then the place to look is to Menachas. And that's why it's not surprising that when it comes to Mincha, the place where we would be most interested in where he is in terms of his internal mind and how that mind is going to affect his Aveda is very different than the issues that we were talking about in Zvachim. Over there, it's far more of a physics analysis. It's all about space, time, the inyonim of Pigol, and the actual sets that we set out to define when it came to the various karbonas. But by Mincha, we know for sure we're talking about something that requires analysis of what it is that he's thinking. Once we enter into that, then the best place to get involved is Rabbi Shimon. Why is that? Because in all of Shas, there's only one source for the idea that what it is that you're thinking inside about something is actually a part of how it is that you understand the Torah. And that means that Darshina Taima Dikra. You have to see that Nakuda in order to understand what the Gemara is doing. The idea of Darshina Taima Dikra is directly connected to Nefesh Kitakriv, you see? Because it matters how it is that you relate to it. And that's the Nefesh. So the Taima Dikra suddenly becomes very important. Now it turns out that in our Sugya, we have two very different approaches to what the main point is when Rabbi Shimon talks about Darshina Taima Dikra. And that's why we want to take apart the various elements. See, I've got some lover out there. There we go. There's a guy who appreciates something good. Even though the bears are after him, he's got time to send his appreciation. Thank you, thank you. It's always nice to get a smile. Okay, so when we're talking about over here, Rabbi Shimon Shita, it's important, therefore, that we see inside again in that opening Braita and in the Braita where Rabbi Shimon contradicts himself, and then to go into the various questions that were on it. So let's just take a look again at the second line on Beis Omed Beis to see what the first understanding that we had was Rabbi Shimon. The Tanya Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol HaMenachot Shenikmetzu Shelo Lishman Kishirot, I completely and totally disagree with the Mishnah's statement that there is a way to make a mincha impacted by Shalom Lishman. Shalom Lishman doesn't matter. It means it doesn't matter, not in terms of the din of a chatas that you're bringing Shalom Lishman, which is totally possible. Not true. And not in terms of any of the other mincha that you're bringing Shalom Lishman, which is lo alul ba'alim l'shem chova. Not true. Neither of those thoughts make the slightest bit of impact. Why is that? She'ena menachot domot esvachim. She'akomitz machavat eshumar cheshet. I mean, what are you saying? You're saying something where your actions are clearly against what you're saying, and therefore the obvious impact of what you're doing as opposed to what you claim is far more impressive to us. Therefore, the Torah would not have considered that to be a machshava, since it's clear that you're just, it's a joke. It's not a machshava. You're claiming that a machavat is a machreshet. I mean, come off it. Ma'aseh mochichin Allah that it's a machavat. If you're bringing a mincha chareva, what is a mincha chareva? A mincha chareva is a mincha schote. And where is there a mincha schote? Buy a carbon olive yored when you cannot afford. And what do you bring that carbon olive yored for? You bring it either for Tumas Migdash V'Kedeshav, which is a Chiyav Kores, or for the non-Chiyav Kores of denying Shvuas HaEdes, and you claim that, no, I don't know Edes for you, or for the Dim of Shvuas Sheker. But this is a very Shvuas Bitui. This is a very special din. Those are the only three cases where we bring this carbon olive yored, and the only place you would have a Minchas Chote. Now, there is a concept of a Minchas Chariva, of a Minchas Kanoz as well, but the Pashtas we want to talk about over here, the Chatas, because that's the point in the Mishnah. So we'll talk about a Minchas Chote. Fine. And over there, if you're claiming that it's a normal mincha, well, there's a big difference between them that's very obvious. A mincha chareva is, as its word, the chareva desiccate implies, that it doesn't have any oil in it. Well, I'm looking at the mincha that you were claiming that is desiccate, and man, it's dripping with oil. So what are you talking about? Ma'aseh mochichin ala l'shum chareva. When it comes to Zvachim, there's no way to detect that you are just talking nonsense. After all, Eshchita achas lekulam, Zrika achas lekulam, Kabbalah achas lekulam. Okay, Now let's go to the Braita in which Rabbi Shimon contradicted himself and see what the answers are. So this was a little bit above the mid-page. Rami de Rabbi Shimon ad Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon contradicts himself in the following Braita. The Tanya Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kodesh Kodashimi kechatat vecha asham. How is it that the Torah compares a mincha both to a chatas and an asham? Because they're very different. I mean, we just saw in the Mishnah, one of the most fabulous differences is whether Shalom Lashma apostles, right? And there Rabbi Shimon says, well, I'll tell you. Some minachas are like a chatas, and some minachas are like an asham. If it's a minchas chote, then it's like a korban chatas. And therefore, if it's shalol lishma, it's posel. Posel, I thought you said that there's no such thing as affecting a mincha with a machshava. You said chareva l'shem belula. What's going on? A chareva l'shem belula is exactly this case of a minchas chote. And now you're saying that it is actually posel? Like a chatas? And if it's a minchas nadav, it's like an asham, and therefore if you dekmitzu shalol lishma, it's kosher, but just like a kashim, it's kosher, and it's eina maratza, because it's lo olo labailin l'shum chova, so too do these menachas are lo olo labailin l'shum chova. Now, man, you can't get a bigger contradiction than that, right? So in one, the second Braita, we'll keep calling it the second Braita. In the second Braita, Rabbi Shimon agrees fully with the Mishnah. In the first Braita, Rabbi Shimon disagrees, mina katze, ela katze, with both points of the Braita. A mincha schote is not pasul shalol lishma, and any mincha shalol lishma is, yes, ola l'shem balam, l'shem chova. So how are we going to answer that? So yesterday, we saw that Rabba explains that the only way to understand the contradiction is that if we're talking about Shinoi Kodesh, that is noticeable, and that's where Rabbi Shimon said what he said. But if we're talking about Shinoi Balim, well, you can't see that it belongs to someone other than the person that he says. So Shinoi Balim for a mincha is the full equivalent of Shinoi Kodesh or Shinoi Balim by a Zevach. Very simple, straightforward answer. As to whether it's applicable to the Mishnah, well, that is a different story. The Mishnah can't be going like Rabbi Shimon because, as we saw yesterday, the Mishnah is not talking about Shinoi Balim. The Mishnah says specifically what it's talking about. And it says, the case being the name of the mincha. A mincha, actually, for a different mincha and not for a different bialim. So there's no way to fit it in to the actual Mishnah. Now, the key over here was the opening question that was actually an attack on this approach of Rabba, and that was, how in the world can you make that distinction if it is a hekesh in the Torah? And that was a biased question. If a machsheves psul is actually a hekesh, what right do you have to make the difference? And this is the key to understanding why all of this belongs here. Because, as Rabba explains, of course, when it comes to Rabbi Shimon, and only Rabbi Shimon, it's the only place where I would ever have thought of doing this kind of analysis. This is because Rabbi Shimon holds Darshina Taima Dikra. And therefore, according to him, just because the Torah says something, it's not meant to be taken blindly like some weird fundamentalist. The Torah says something that's supposed to add up. So it makes sense to say that where a machshava can impact the actual, and remember, machshava, when it comes to Kodesh, is so central, the interrelationship between the virtual world and the actual world was so important. You can possibly remember Karbonis by virtual time and virtual space. And that's the whole concept of Pigel. Despite the fact that you're in a different consensual space as far as everybody else is concerned. So you claim that you're going to be eating this chutz lizmano. The fact that you ate it actually bizmano is not going to change anything. Okay, so then we have to think about what it means in the Torah when it talks about a virtual machshava, says Rabbi Shimon, that is contrasted with the actuality. So what would I look at? Would I look at the virtual or would I look at the actual? So Rabbi Shimon is suggesting here, according to Rabba, that the Darshina Taima Dikra means that let us look at what the Torah would mean when it refers to a pogam in your avodah with a machshava. It makes sense that means that your machshava is powerful enough to make a difference in a real world. But where the real world will tell anybody, any fool who looks at it, and will say to him, this guy is not serious. Just ignore what he's saying. So then, fine, that's not called a machshava, because it's contradicted by reality. So first of all, Rabbah is raising the question of an overall issue that's been very central to us, which is the interrelationship of these various machshavas, which are all virtual things, with realities. And remember, the idea of nosar is the real world's machshavas pigo chutz lazmano, right? But they're not contradictory. So there's two worlds here. There's a world of real notar, and there's a world of virtual notar that we call pigo chutz lazmano, and so on. So it doesn't fit into the Mishnah. True. Now, today, at the end of yesterday, let me just remind you, and I'll go over it again today. At the end of yesterday, we had a number of questions about the overall idea of what a machshava de minkara means. So again, according to Rabbah, only a clear-cut, a non-clear-cut machshava, where what you say you're doing is not contradicted by reality, that's a machshava that we're talking about over here. That's called shelo lishma. But if it's contradicted by reality, it's an irrelevant machshava. So that's an understanding of the extent at which the person's mind is capable of affecting the avodah. So the Gemara had some questions yesterday. And we started off asking about, well, why isn't the mokum of Malika on an olas ha'of enough of a proof that it can't be a chatas ha'of? So I said, that's crazy. Malika can't be a proof because you can do Malika anywhere. So if you claim it's a chatas and you're up on top of the Mizbeach, does that prove it's not a chatas? Of course not. Okay, so chuck that one. Okay, how about the opposite way? How about if you were talking about a case of an olas ha'of and you're claiming that it's a chatas, but you're doing all of the dam with mitzui, which is exactly what you would do if it's a neila, and you're doing it lamala michuta sikra, why would that not be an obvious, ridiculous machshava, and yet we say that it passes? Answered the Gemara yesterday, because it's possible that they see the mitzui as being the final mitzui of the shirayim, but not an opening mitzui of a neila. So it's the mitzvah of a chatas. And you can do that mitzvah even at the top of the Mizbeach. And then the last question that we asked about the ofot yesterday was because we wanted to know if I did hazoya of a chatas of, and I'm claiming, even though I'm lamata doing hazoya, I'm claiming it's an olas of. That should be perfectly okay because it's clear to anybody that I'm actually doing something completely different than what I claim I'm doing. And therefore, a virtual thought is not enough to impact a real world. So why is that a problem? And we answered, it's not a problem, according to Rabbi Shimon. You're 100% right. And you'll notice that Rabbi Shimon didn't make an overall rule that ein hamenachot domot la'ofot. He said ein hamenachot domot lezvachim. So the fact that there are some ofot that are like menachot and that can be contradicted by the real world and the way that you're acting, that's not a problem. Rabbi Shimon would be perfectly happy to agree with you. So that's the two dots on today's Omer Aleph. We did that yesterday, and now let's move on to see some of the other approaches to how we could answer Rabbi Shimon. But before we do that, let's see if we could ask on Rabbi Shimon, not from Ofot, which now we've answered and claimed, well, he never said it was not like Ofot. Okay, let's turn our attention to Zvachim and see whether there are cases of Zvachim that are also obvious. And that, therefore, since they're obvious that what he's doing is not what he claims to be doing, therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, they should be kosher. So, our first case. How about if you're shakti kachim, kachi kachim, and you're bitsofing, and you're claiming, this, I'm shakting as a shlamim. Now, why are you in the tsofing if you're shakting this as a shlamim? So then we should say, since you're obviously in the north, because the Ikachu Kalim, had this really been a Shlomim, you wouldn't be up here in the crowded north. You would have been Bidarom, because you can go anywhere you want when it comes to Shlomim. Why would you want to confuse this Shlomim with Kachikachim? Ah, oh, come on, that's nothing. I mean, that's just convenience issues. I mean, the Torah never said you cannot check the Shlomim in the north. That's a silly question. Did the Torah ever say you gotta be in the Darom? No. Darom velobitza from the Omar. I mean, you know the Mishnah. And where are kachim kachim shnitasu b'chol makom ba'zara? So this is not a decent question. Okay. How about the other way around? The other way around is a decent question. If I'm shechting kachim kalim, and I'm in the Durham, and I'm claiming, see what I'm doing? I'm shechting this for kachim kachim. I'm shechting this as an oila. Everyone will burst out laughing, you know? And they'll say, well, I mean, if it was really an Ola, you would have been in the Tzofa, no? Dikachikachi betzofa navi avilu. Well, not necessarily. I mean, maybe the idea of contradiction of what you're doing is doesn't mean that you have to be doing it right. I mean, why are you assuming all along that the person's makshava is meaningless because of the fact that what he's doing shows that that's not what's happening? I never said it's what's happening, did I? I said that's what I'm doing it for. Isn't that the meaning of a Shalom Lishma? I'm not saying this is what it is. I'm saying I am a bum, and this is what I intend to do, whether God likes it or not. And I'm going to bring this as an Eila, even though it's really a Shlomim. I understand. Why isn't that also considered to be Shalom Lishma? Why is Shalom Lishma, we're assuming this guy is an upstanding citizen, he knows exactly what he's supposed to be doing? No. Actually, this guy is in Russia. He's bedavka b'mezid, he's going along, and he's shechting it b'dorim, so they will take his makshava seriously. But what? So then, if that's true, then the whole argument of Rabbi Shimon breaks down. Maybe this guy who says that he's bringing the marcheshet for a machavat is just a Russia, right? And we should say the same thing. He's claiming that he's doing it for a marcheshet. People will say, well, he's bringing it in a machavat, but he actually was supposed to do it in the Marcheshet because that's what he's originally made a neder, and now he's doing it wrong, and he's bringing it actually in a Machavat, even though it's a Marcheshet, because he's a bum. That's why. So you can say the same thing. I mean, if you're telling me that the reality of what he's doing is not a way to access his thought process, and he may be doing something wrong on purpose, so then the whole argument is ridiculous of Rabbi Shimon. Ha ha ha, says the Gemara. You missed the point. The point is that even if you had made a neder, that this, I am going to be chayev a minchas marcheshet, if I turn around and I take that neder and I say, okay, here's my neder, and I bring a minchas machavas, you know what? It's a minchas machavas. That's the point. You see, when it comes to the zevach, the definition of the zevach is absolute. It's not a logistical question whether something is an oila or a shlomim. It's a function of the type of hegdish it is. But when it comes to the difference between a minchas machavas and a marcheshet, that's logistics. And if you actually brought a minchas machavas, even though you had said, I'm going to bring a minchas marcheshet, it's a minchas machavas. I mean, obviously you weren't yotze your neder to bring a minchas marcheshet because you didn't, but this is a perfectly kosher minchas machavat. It says that later on in the Mishnah Beferish. Ha'omer, harei alai b'machavat ve'evi b'marcheshet, or harei alai b'marcheshet, and instead he's mevi b'machavat. Fine. Whatever he brought, he brought. That's a lovely mincha. Thank you very much, sir. Excuse me, but remember you still owe us your neder. Okay, that's fine. So masha evivv, but yedei nidro lo yotze. So if a kohen claims that he's doing this kmitza, which is now in a machavat, it's on a griddle instead of being in a deep frying pan. I'm doing this as a marcheshet. Well, burst out laughing. What, you're trying to change the nature of reality? I mean, listen here, buddy. You are holding a machavat. So obviously it is a machavat. So that's a question of existential reality. This is a machavat. Let's not discuss it. Mashenke, when it comes to a zevach, well, that indeed, the zevach is the kedusha of the zevach, and then you're trying to affect the kedusha of the zevach without changing anything. Okay, well, wait a minute. Suppose he wouldn't have made a neder. Suppose he would have said a nedova. Well, how do you say a nedova? I mean, a nedova is where you take an animal and you say, this animal is an eila, this animal is a shlomim. How do you do that on a mincha? Same way. You take a bag of flour and you say, this flour is a minchas marcheshet, or this flour is a minchas marchavat. So then, isn't there a din of kedusha for a specific carbon on the flour? And then you're going to be messing it up by bringing it the wrong way, even though it's logistic? So maybe that's what the case is. Dilma Omar Zo. Maybe the guy had said, this bag of flour is supposed to be a minchas marcheshet. So then you can't turn it into a machavat. Even if you make it in a machavat, it still has the kedusha marcheshet, no? I mean, because that same Mishnah says that in a case where the person said, Zola Haviba machavat, this bag of flour is what I'm going to be bringing as a machavat. And he brought it for marcheshet or vice versa. Zol b'marcheshet, and if Haviba machavat, then it would be possible. So why does Rabbi Shimon say that when it comes to menachas, the facts on the ground indicate that your machshava is nonsensical and therefore it's not going to impact anything? Excuse me, that Mishnah is going according to the Rabbanan. Remember, that's one of the main issues over here. According to the Rabbanan, yes, that's true. If a kohen would do kmitza on a machavat and say that it's a marcheshet, fine. It would absolutely be puzzle. And in that case, there's no contradiction. Just because I did it a different way. So that's true according to the Rabbanan. We're talking according to Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, what he's doing is nonsensical. Why do I say that? Because since according to Rabbi Shimon, he said, af ze nidro yatsa. You're wrong. Rabbi Shimon says, if somebody says that I am going to bring a minchas marcheshes and he brings a mincha, and instead of a marcheshes, he brings it in a machavat, you said, we just quoted the Mishnah, you said in the Mishnah that, well, it's a good carbon, but you still have to go ahead and bring your neder. No, you don't, says Rabbi Shimon. Absolutely not. So what does that mean? That means, according to Rabbi Shimon, the logistics of Minchas Machavat or Marcheshet are not a function of a different Kedusha. It's simply a matter of logistics, putting it in the right container. That has nothing to do with the Kedusha, and therefore, according to him, the container, that's a meaningless thing. Kiyuta demona v'lav klomo. That means, according to Rabbi Shimon, I don't really care what kind of pot I put it into. And therefore, it would make no difference, according to Rabbi Shimon, if you say, this flower is a machavat. There's no such thing. The machavat is a meaningless logistical concept. It's not a difference in the type of kedusha, according to Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon is completely consistent. If you say machavat or you say marcheshet, you're referring to a kli and not to a difference in kedusha. And therefore, that for sure is not going to be able to affect the kind of shalom lishma that you're talking about. What you're saying is a lie, because I am looking at a marcheshet and you're claiming it's a machavat. Oh, but I was supposed to, and I made this kaddosh for... Excuse me, says Rabbi Shimon, what do you mean you were supposed to? What do you mean you made it kaddosh for this type of kli? There's no such thing. The kviyas of amana is not a different type of kli. In Mashenken, when you're talking about the case of the kachim kalim that you went ahead and did as kache kachim. Over there, maybe you just were a Russian, you're doing the wrong thing. But over here, you cannot do the wrong thing. Because Lamaisa, whatever you do, ends up being the reality. And is it a marcheshet? Yes, it is. No, this isn't really a machavat. What do you think, we're crazy? But when it comes to Kachim Kalim, you're Shalolishma actually impacts the din of the Kedusha per se. All right. You know what? According to Rabbi Shimon, I'm going to bring you a case where it definitely is going to be nicker that your machshava is a joke when it comes to a question of a zevach, okay? How about this? Elamiata, how about this case? How about if somebody went ahead and he shechted an oila claiming that this is a chatas, okay? How about that? What's wrong with that? Oh, nothing major, except that one is a male and one is a female. An oila has to be a male, and a chatas has to be a female. And so it's pretty clear that this guy is speaking nonsense. I mean, so that should be the equivalent of machavas and marcheshet when it comes to an animal, right? But that's one of the classic cases of it's being puzzle shelo lishma. And according to Rabbi Shimon, how come Rabbi Shimon never says that that's puzzle, but that's quite all right because it's obviously not what he's saying? Well, no, it's not true. It's possible for a chatas to be a male. Maybe this was the chatas of a sayer nasi. And a sayer nasi is a male. All right, come on. You're going to fight me on every little detail. Good. So what if the guy says, I'm bringing this oila as a chatas yochid, not a nasi, okay? So there, don't give me that answer. Right now, it's impossible to support what he's saying based on the facts on the ground. Because after all, Trump has made it absolutely clear, either it's a zachar or a nekeva. You can't play games. And if that's the case, then this should be a machshava nikeres mitoch myself, right? So what about that? Amar l'shem chatas yochid. What are you going to say? And anyway, how about if you do it in the inverse? How about if you take a chatas, that's an obvious chatas yochid, and you say, I'm bringing this l'shem oila. Well, it's obviously not a male because it's a chatas yochid, and you're claiming it's an oila, so everybody should start laughing. Ha ha. What a ridiculous machshava. Since a chatas is a nekeva and an ola is a zachar, so why is Rabbi Shimon ready to go along with the idea of that being puzzle? Should be exactly the same as the case of the mincha. Well, no, because look, what we're talking about is nikeret. Now, a chatas genitals are not nikeret, because if you're bringing a keves, remember the keves has an alia. That alia is this large and wide fat tail. It completely hides what the sex is of the animal because it's hanging over the whole area that you'd be able to tell the difference. So they don't realize. I don't know. Looking at this animal, I don't see up front that this is a zachar or nekeva. I see the rear, and the rear is covered with a tail. Okay. So a hatenach, that's all very nice if it has a tail because you're bringing a keves. What happens if you're bringing a seira? How about there? So yes, that's got a fat tail. But what if a seira that doesn't have an alia? And there you can see its genitals. All right. You know what? The point is that people are not paying attention to the gender over here. And then they're just looking at the animal for heaven's sakes. Are they going to take a peek around to see whether it's a male or female? They didn't even notice. So it could be that that's not called obvious the way a machavas and a marcheshet is. So bein zechorim l'nekevot, lavadai to the ancient people are not really aware of that. All right. Pesach. How about a carbon Pesach? I'm still going to try desperately to find you someplace where we've got a case in Zvachim that violates Rabbi Shimon's rule where he says, well, Menachos are not like Zvachim. I want to see if that's really true, what we call Minkara. So how about a carbon Pesach? And you take that Pesach and you say, I am bringing this carbon as an Usher. Now, a Pesach can never be confused with an Asham, because a Pesach has to be a Keves within its first year. So it needs to be a Ben Shana. So the high Ben Shana. And an Asham is Dafka supposed to be in its second year. It says that Beferish in the Pasuk. Yeah, okay, but he didn't say what kind of Asham. Maybe it's an Asham Nazir. Maybe it's an Asham Mitzera. An Asham Nazir and Asham Mitzera are brought from a Keves in its first year, just like a Pesach. So that's not called Nikar. You're nickel and diming me again. I told you. So I don't mean that case. I'm talking about the case where he said beferish, this is an Asham Gezelois, okay? This is an Asham Me'ilois. What is the Asham Gezelois, gentlemen? Where somebody made a shvua that he never stole that money or he never kept that thing that you gave him to watch or whatever the case was. And then he's made it. I was lying. And there he has to bring an Asham, which is called the Asham Gezelais. Plus, he has to pay the guy back with an extra chomish and all of that stuff, right? So that's the Asham Gezelot. And he said, I am bringing this as an Asham Gezelos. An Asham Eilos, it was Moab HaHegdash. Both of those have to be in the Shtei Shanim. Remember, when we say Shtei Shanim in the Torah's version, that makes it in its second year, not 2 years old. When we say Ben Shana, we don't mean it's 1 year old. We mean it's within its first year. So these are Ben Shtei Shanim. They are within the second year. So what are you going to say there? So obviously the guy is joking around. This is not a real Machshava. And how about a different case? How about if you took an Asham Gzelos and you took an Asham Me'ilos, which are 2 years old in the Torah's terminology, and you bring them for a Pesach, which is only 1 year old in the Torah's terminology. So why wouldn't that be kosher? Because a Pesach is 1 year old and these are 2 year old. So isn't it obvious? Okay, you know what? The truth is, it's not obvious. That's the point. The same way the sex wasn't obvious, the age isn't obvious. The difference between a one-year-old and a two-year-old, people are not going to pay much attention to because it's not so actually set in stone. The animal's development can be slightly different. It's like you see human children. There's some human children that are one-year-old and you would mistake them for being a one-and-a-half, you know? And there's some that are 1.5 that you'd mistake for being only 11 months old. I mean, that's a changeable kind of thing. So there's Ika ben Shana, Demirzika ben Shtayim, and Ika ben Shtayim, Demirzika ben Shana. So that's also, Rabbi Shimon was talking about Nika, really obvious, evident. This is not evident. All right? How about this case? You're shechting a sa'ir, and you're claiming that it's for an asham. Now, there's no asham that is kosher as a goat. Every asham has got to be a sheep. Now, there's a big difference for all of you non-farm boys out there. There's a big difference between sheep and goats, all right? And the difference is that a goat doesn't have any wool, and a sheep is woolly. And that's a tremendous difference. So the guy's looking at it, he says, What'd you say? You're shechting this as an asham?
But it's kind of pull the wool over it.
Yeah, exactly. Barnea was waiting and you got there first. A disaster.
Not bad.
All right. So one of them is tzemer. The asham is supposed to be tzemer as a keves. And the other one is you're claiming that it's a sire. You're claiming it's an asham and we are holding a sire. So how could we possibly make that mistake? Okay. Yeah, you can make this mistake because you know what? Maybe it's an ayil, which is essentially an older sheep that is a black-skinned sheep, and it has been actually shorn, so it doesn't have any wool on it. And then you take a quick look at what it looks like. Yes, I don't know. You know, maybe that's like the black skin, just as the covering of hair over it. I'm going to notice it. And therefore, so they'll say, this is basically a black-skinned ram, you know, could be. Okay, I'll ask another case. How about if you take a different species, the meaning a bull, okay? Or you take a calf, and you claim this is a Pesach. Now, can you bring a Pesach from a bovine? No. Can you bring an Asham from a bovine? No, nobody's going to mistake a cow for a sheep, for heaven's sakes. So if you're bringing an eagle or a par and you're claiming, this is a carbon Pesach, this is a carbon Asham, ridiculous. Because there ain't no such animal, as they say. An eagle and a par for a Pesach and an Asham does not exist. You know what? You're right. Rabbi Shimon would say, that case is in fact kosher. Because it's nicker that it's not what he's saying. But what do you mean, Enochinami? I thought Rabbi Shimon said that menachos are not like zvachim. Did he ever say it's not like any case of a zevach? You've been driving us all nuts here for an entire morning, trying to figure out some case. Okay, there may be a case like that. He didn't say any zvachim. He meant in general. What do we have to be so pedantic for? So when Rabbi Meshimet said menachos are not like zvachim, what he meant was my zvachim, most zvachim, 99% of cases, it's not going to be obvious what the difference is. That's the idea. Okay, so this was our first approach to Rabbi Shimon, the difference between Rabbi Shimon, the first Braisa, and the second Braisa, was that the first Braisa, which argues with our Mishnah, was referring to a Shinui which is evident, and the second Braisa, which agrees with our Mishnah, was referring to Shinui Bialim, and Shinui Bialim, of course, is not detectable. So, why would we be thinking about it? It's very straightforward. That was the difference according to Rabba. Now comes a completely opposite approach to Rabba, which is Rava's approach. And Rava's approach is, and here again, we have to go back to our opening, the introduction that we had today, about what's special about menachos and why we're concentrating on understanding the nature of the meaning of Darshina Taima Dikra, Binogea Menachos, where it's Nefesh Ki Takrit. And the idea over here, Rava agrees. Of course, this is Dafka Rabbi Shimon. But, says Rava to Rava, the idea that you have, that when something is Nikr, it's less of a machshava. That's true. But that's only if you understand that when Rabbi Shimon is looking for the Taima Dikra, he is looking for how to define more powerfully the involvement of this person in the Aveda, and how to define, therefore, let's look at whether he really had a machshava. Is this a machshava or is it not a machshava? If it's ridiculous, it's not a machshava. That's how you're looking at it. But I would suggest, says Rava, that we should look at it in exactly the opposite way. What Rabbi Shimon wants to know when he's talking about the Taima Dikra is, what is the reason that the Torah would make such a big deal about a lishma or a shalai lishma? That's the way to look at it. Because that's usually what Rabbi Shimon means when he says Darshina Taima Dikra. So to talk about the implication of this person's thought, that's not a Taima Dikra in the Isser of Shalo Lishma. That's a Taima Dikra in terms of how involved is the person's Machshava and his Aveda. But why start from there? Why are you prejudiced thinking that we should analyze the ruchnius of the person's nefesh? That's what we're analyzing. Normally, when Rabbi Shimon says Darshina Taima Dikra, he is asking, why would the Torah answer this? Okay? Now, if you're looking at that, then I would say, why would the Torah answer this according to Rabbi Shimon? Here's the way I would look at it. I would say that since the Torah is looking for a way to establish a correct behavior in the dinim of Zvachim and Menachos, it would be koveya a din based on how likely it is that this violation would end up causing a breakdown in the way people treat kachim. That's the way to look at it. And therefore, the conclusion would be the exact opposite of your conclusion. If somebody does something that is absolutely insane, and he says, I am bringing a marcheshes as a machavat, people look at each other and say, well, if that's kosher, man, anything is kosher. I mean, this is crazy. Apparently, the guy can think whatever he wants to think, and it makes no difference. So the next time I bring a korban, I'll bring it for my Bobby's Yerusha. I don't know. I mean, it don't make any difference, right? So therefore, the more nutty what the guy is saying is, the more likely it is that the Torah would not want that to be involved in kachim, because it's more likely to lead to a breakdown in people's response to kachim. I mean, I don't know, but that's certainly more logical than what you're saying. Let's look at it from the point of view of why the Torah would aser. So therefore, if the guy says something that is less meaningful, you know, there's less of a chance that it's usher. Ultimately, they both should be usher. What? So then I don't understand. So then why is Rabbi Shimon? What's wrong with you? Rabbi Shimon says that it's kosher if it's a mincha. And you're telling me it should be possible, more possible if it's a mincha. Well, what am I missing over here? Ah, says Rav, I'll tell you what you're missing. You're missing the real reason why Rabbi Shimon said that it's kosher. It has nothing to do with the issue of whether the Machshava was nicker. Actually, Rabbi Shimon was saying the exact opposite of what you were saying. He was saying like this. A mincha should be totally possible. Because that mincha is not like a zevach. It's much worse than a zevach. So how come the mincha is not possible according to me? Ah, that's my secret. The mincha is not possible because it says in the posik, Zot Torah Tamincha. And whenever the Torah uses the word Zot Torah, what does it mean? Torah achat lekol haminachot. Okay, so listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells me, I don't care if you bring a machshava one mincha for another mincha, that doesn't bother me because all minchas are the same. Zot Torah Tamincha. But if I would bring a carbon mincha and I would say, I'm bringing this mincha as a carbon oila, that would be a problem because then you're not bringing it as a mincha. So in that case, it would be possible. So that means that the main issue here is hidden and that we have to change the braita. The braita is full of chisuri mechasras. We're going to have to fix it by putting in the correct thing. But the important thing, I'll get to that in a minute, says the Gemara. We'll explain what the correct way to read the braita is, even though it's obviously very different than what it says. So we're going to have to correct it with all types of insertions. I'll do that in a minute. But basically, we have a fundamental question over here between Rava and Rava about whether our concern with the Shalom Lishma of the Mincha is actually a concern with the idea of the Nefesh Kitakriv, or whether it's actually a normal way of Rabbi Shimon analyzing why would the Torah tell us not to do this if it doesn't seem to make any difference. And that's the constant refrain that we have in people who give Taimei HaMitzvahs and so on. And the only difference is that according to Rabbi Shimon, we can rely on it for making a difference lahalacha. That's all. But it's not something that would be miyuchad for the relationship of a person to his avodah. You're like this, a very chassidish avodah, says Rava to Rava. I mean, you're making it a function of mincha. So it's nothing to do with it. It's the standard kind of Taimei HaMitzvahs issue. That's all. Okay. So let's see that inside now, and let's see how the Gemara is going to change the meaning of the Braita so that it ends up fitting in with this new approach. So Rava Amar, no, the difference on the two Braitas are, if you were komates a mincha for a mincha, oh, there it's kosher, and there it's true what Rabbi Shimon said. I disagree. A minchas chatas does not become pasul if it was brought as a minchas chavit. And if it was brought as a mincha that was an amar chavat, it's not pasul if it's brought claiming to be a mar cheshet. And that's because it's a pasik. But if you're komets mincha shum zevach, there is where Rabbi Shimon said, now there I agree, that in that case it would be pasul and the Mishnah would be correct. So mincha l'shum mincha, why is it kosher? Even though it ought to be more pasul, it's kosher because the Torah says Torah mincha, Torah achat kol haminachot. But if you shecht a mincha l'shum zevach, now there you got a problem. Because show me where it says Zot Torah mincha v'hazevach, there ain't no such pasuk. Loksiv, and since there is no such pasuk, a mincha as a zevach is no good. Well, Rava, do you know how to read? The Tana says something very clear, that Rabbi Shimon said that mipnei shema'aseh mochichin aleha. I mean, this is crazy. You're telling me, no, actually, ma'aseh mochichin aleha is a reason why it should be possible. And the real reason is because of Zot Torah Tamincha, which it doesn't even say in the Braita. I mean, like, how can you read that into this Braita? It's not what Rabbi Shimon said. Matana mipnei shema'aseh mochichin aleha ka'omar. No, I'll tell you, it's completely different. You have to read it totally the opposite way. What the Tana is saying is that even though, afal gav, the machshava de lo min karahi, even though this is a machshava that could, now here he's using the word minkra in the opposite way than we used it up until now, right? Until now we were saying that if it's minkra, that it's false, right? We're talking about it's a machshava delo minkra. It is not clear that it's true, and therefore it's tipasel. It's more reasonable that it should be pasel, not kosher. So you have to put in the words af al pi, and it's the machshava delo minkra in the opposite sense. So mitzad asvara, it should be tipasel. This is all we're sticking this in. Tipasel, Talmud lomar, v'zot torat amincha, torah achat v'kol aminachot. Okay, so how do you read the words Avol Zvachim in okay? No, that's what he's saying. By Zvachim, it doesn't work out this way that if you shecht one for the other, that it's kosher. Because even though you would think it's the opposite, right? You have to put in the words Afalpi. Even though by Zvachim it's far more a Machshava and it's a Shlita Achas V'Kulam, so it should at least be Pasul. It's not as bad as a mincha, but it should at least be there over here. It's not as bad as mincha. You would think, okay, so if a mincha is kosher, a zavak is certainly kosher. No, even though it's nowhere near as bad as a mincha, where it's clear that this guy is a nut and he doesn't want to do it correctly, over here it's not clear, so it should for sure be kosher. No, it doesn't say anywhere, zotorat mincha v'zavak. So what we've done is we've taken the braita, we flipped it around. The word minkara means the opposite. And the fact that it would be lo minkara would be a reason. The way we originally had it was originally a reason it should be pasul. The zevach should be less pasul, but nonetheless it is pasul because it's missing the unbelievable. A complete and total turnaround. Okay. So now, assuming that this is what Rabbi Shimon meant, in the Darshina Taima Dekra, the way that Rava is explaining it. So then it's all based on what? On the Zot Torah? So what about if you took a chatas, which was supposed to be brought as a chatas for eating chalev, right? And you said, I'm bringing this chatas as a chatas for having eaten dam, okay? Well, I'm bringing this chatas chalev as a chatas avedis kechavim. Huh? How about that? Or I'm bringing this chatas because it's a chatas nozir. Or I'm bringing this chatas because it's the chatas of a mitzera. And all of those are included in Zotorat HaChatat. Torah Achat V'Kol HaChataot. So if Rabbi Shimon really believes that Zotorat means it don't make any difference what your kavona is, so then he should say that a change in chatas should be kosher and should be meratzeh. Why? Do you Rachman Zot Torah Achatat? Torah Achat V'Kol HaChataot? Says the Gemara, hey, I got news for you. He does hold that. Rava says that Rabbi Shimon holds that since it says Zot Torah Achatat, bringing one Chatat for another Chatat is perfectly okay. The Rabbi Shimon Achinami. It was only for the Rabbanan that when we said, I mean, because otherwise we're saying the it says that it's pasul shelo lishman zvach. No, that's going according to the Rabbanan. And indeed, according to the Rabbanan, ha'omar Rava, achatas chelev v'sheshachata l'shem chatas dam, or l'shem chatas avedas kechavim. So that would be kosher even according to the Rabbanan, because it's the same type of chatas. It's a chatas that's coming on a chi of chorus. Even though they don't hold of the pasuk Zot Torah Achatat to tell me that, but still, this is not a significant difference. If you brought it l'shem chatas avedus kerkovin, it's all of that that's kosher. But if you brought it for chatas nazir, for chatas mitzora, those are not coming as a kapora. Those are essentially, like we learned in Zvachim, and we have to take out the word bahadayu if we follow the sugya in Zvachim, that those are olos, tahani olos ninu. Since they're not coming for kapora, they're only coming essentially to be makshir together with the erla that's brought with them. They are like the erla ba'adayu. So there, it could be that it looks indeed, it's a different type of carbon. Now, basically, there's another way of saying all of these cases, which is Ravacha, and Ravacha Breda Rava. He says that all the cases that you claimed, Rava, are kosher, are actually pasul. And if you shechted even a chatas dam, l'shem chatas chaylev, l'shem chatas avodah zarah, it would be pasul for another reason. Because there's a separate pasuk that says, v'shachat ota lechatat, and that means l'shem ota chatat. That's a different halacha. That's that there's a new din of lishmo by achatas, it must be shechted for the chait that it was being brought for. All right. So now we have two very different approaches. Now, as Barnea will tell you, this is a devastating Gemara to me, because here we've got Rav Ashi, where before we had Abaye asking the question. Okay, so Rav Ashi says, I have my own approach, which is, I agree with Rava. I agree with Rava. I disagree with Rava. I hold that the more insane the Machshava is, the more likely it would be that Rabbi Shimon would say that the Torah makes that plus. When I say, the way to answer the contradiction of the two brises of Rabbi Shimon is very simple. All you guys missed the point. Where we were talking about Rabbi Shimon in that first brisa, that the mincha is kosher, he says, I am doing this kmitza l'shum marcheshet, even though it's a minchas machavat. But the second brisa is not that he says, I'm doing this as a marcheshet. He says, I'm doing this as a minchas marcheshet. Now, there's a big difference between the two. If the guy thinks that claiming that a container is a different container is going to matter to us, we may call the people in the white coats, but we're certainly not going to call the people in the black suits that are going to claim that this is pasul. We'll just take the guy away. Why? Because a machavas or shumar cheshet is a machshava about what kind of container. The Torah never said that a machshava about a container is meaningful. Who cares about containers? So machshava b'mana lo pasa. That's not a machshava about a mincha. That's a machshava about a mana. Whereas if he said a minchas machavas, v'shum minchas marcheshes, that is a pagam in the mincha. Hey, that's not what Rabbi Shimon said. Rabbi Shimon said, because ma'aseh mochichin alei ha'kamar, now you're coming up with this crazy difference, which is because of the fact that he said it about a mana, and a mana is not important. I mean, how in the world could you possibly believe that that's what Rabbi Shimon is talking about? He didn't say that. He said, so that's a crazy approach. You got to understand what he's saying. I agree with Rava's approach that it's more likely that something would be puzzled if it's more crazy. So therefore, I would say that afagav, this is the gears of the shita, afagav de makshava de lo min karhi. So even though this is not something that seems to be true, remember, I'm going like Rava, and therefore it's the opposite, the more that it appears to be not true. So this is not a makshava that looks to be true, because sure seems that it's not true, and therefore it should be pasul. It's not. Why? Because it's not about the mincha. It's about the mana. So look, Rav Ashi, then what's the meaning of bizvachim in okay? What is that? You're saying the difference is, was he thinking about a container, or was he thinking about the mincha? So what do you mean bizvachim in okay? What it means is that even though Shchita Achas HaKulam, and even though Zrika Achas HaKulam, and Kabbalah Achas HaKulam, and you'd think, okay, so then it's the same thing as changing the mana. No, it's not. It's because Zvicha, that is a real Aveda, and it's what the Torah was makbid on, and therefore since Zvicha Patzel's Makshava, he did a Makshava. I'm not saying that Rabbi Shimon holds there's a difference in what kind of makshavah it is. Makes no difference. But it has to be on something that the Torah said is a din of makshava. The Torah never said there's a din of makshava on a container. That's all I'm saying. That's all the Braita is saying. So that even though you would think that it should still be, it should be kosher, because after all, it's not very much of a difference, but it is a difference. And it's a difference in something where a difference makes a difference. What a difference about Shava makes. And the difference is Zvicha, but not the mana. Amalei Rav Acha, Berei the Rav Ala Rav Ashi. Yeah, but you're not explaining all of the cases. One of the cases that Rabbi Shimon mentioned was bringing a chareva mishum belula. That has to do with not the mana. You said it's all a bit about the mana. And over here, he's talking about the consistency, whether it has oil or doesn't have oil. So why there did Rabbi Shimon say that it's kosher? That's not a din in the mana. That's a din in the actual mincha. Omar Leh said, Rav Ashi, the Rav Acha. No, when he says l'shem belula, did he say l'shem mincha belula? No. He said l'shem belula. You know what he meant? He meant, I'm bringing this as a bereka. As a bereka? Yeah, it's a belula. He didn't say anything about it being a car. It's a bereka. See? It's a nice mushroom bereka with lots of oil. Mmm, fresh and warm. That's what he said. I mean, so then, Yochi, you could say the same thing about Tzvachim. A guy is bringing a korban oil as a shlamim, and he said shlamim. So there, we should say, you know what he means? I am bringing this korban to further peace and goodwill on earth as shlamim. I mean, he didn't say korban shlamim. So over there also, he said belula, meaning bereka. And over here, he said, shalomim. And he put on a little fancy red hat with a white thing on top. And he said, peace and goodwill to all men and shalomim. Maybe that's what he means, huh? So, I mean, if you're ready to say that, you can believe anything, you know? So, l'shem shalomim nami maybe means for peace and goodwill. L'shem shalomim b'alma. No, that's ridiculous. A korban shalomim, the name of a korban shalomim is shalomim. There's no korban mincha that's called belula. That's a description. Show me korban belula. There's no such thing as a korban belula. There's a korban that is belula. Okay, and if you don't say the word korban, then it's a bereka. But if you say shlamim, it's insane for us to say you're not referring to the korban. That's the name of the korban. Take a look in the pasuk. The zevach itself is called a shlamim. Hamakriv et dam shlamim. Hazorek et dam shlamim. Fine, but the mincha? Oh, a mincha gufa miyikra belula? Did you ever see a mincha that's called a mincha belula? It's called the mincha belula b'shem, and it's a description. Any mincha that is mixed with oil, so you didn't say mincha, you know, you just said over here that it's belula, that could be a bereka. Maybe if you would have said a mincha belula b'shem, but belula stama lo ikra. Now, that means that we have three different approaches to the difference of Rabbi Shimon in the first Braita, in which he argues with the Mishnah, and in the second Braita. So first, we had Rabba's approach. Rabba's approach is the difference between a shalolishma of Vashinoi Balim, which is not noticeable, and a shalolishma of a Shinoi Kadesh, which is noticeable. Why didn't Rava, and why didn't Rav Ash like Rabba's approach? I mean, it made perfectly good sense in terms of Darshina time of the Krah. So, Kuluka Rabba lo Amri. That's because this was not just an approach to, I'll give you a different answer. It's not about a different answer. It's about trying to understand Rabbi Shimon's overall approach to Darshina time of the Krah. That's the point. So, they say to Rabba, that doesn't make sense. Ander Rabba. It makes more sense that the Torah would pasul a noticeable insanity because that's more liable to affect people's reaction to kachim. And that's a fundamental concern over here, not to understanding the nefesh of the ani. I'm sorry. Okay. And why didn't Rabba and Rav Ashi like Rava's approach? That the difference is a mincha l'shem mincha versus a mincha l'shem zevach, and it's all based on zot torata mincha. That's because they simply do not believe that Zot Torah Tamincha is correct. You know why? show me one place, please, where Rabbi Shimon says that you can bring one chatas l'shem another chatas because it says zot torat chatat. Did he ever say that? No. How come he never said that? I'll tell you why. Because he does not darshan zot torat to mean a shinui in l'shem is not chashuv. So then I don't believe that zot torat amincha means anything different than zot torat chatat. Sorry. So I need a different approach. Okay, so therefore we can't have them agreeing like Rava. Why don't they agree with Ravashi's approach? That if you're talking about a marcheshes for a machavat, you're talking about a container, but you're not talking about the mincha. Well, because after all, Ravacha Bereda Rava showed that that's not true. He said, you're explaining the machavat and the marcheshes, but you're not explaining the belula. You're not explaining the chareva l'shem belula, which has nothing to do with the kli. So therefore, sorry, but this makes no sense. All right, so now these three approaches, each one of them has got an Achilles heel, right? And in fact, it turns out that according to Rav Hoshaya, that Achilles heel in any one of these approaches is fatal. And the thing that Rabbah says in one direction, was obvious to Rabbah that the more ridiculous the machshava is, the less likely it is to be a problem. And what was obvious to Rava in the other direction, which is that the more crazy the machshava is, the more likely it is to cause the psul. So something that was clear to Rabbah in one way and to Rava in the opposite way, was actually an issue that Rav Hoshaya raised and wanted to know which way we should look at it. Because Rav Hoshaya, he says that he went ahead and asked, or some say he asked it directly to Rav Asi, and he said, if somebody brings a mincha as a zevach, what do you think he would say according to Rabbi Shimon? Would that be a meaningful kind of thing? My question is, does Rabbi Shimon hold that a machshava de minkra does not pasul? And this is an obviously nutty machshava. I mean, how in the world could you say that this is an oila? So therefore, it should be meaningless. Because, I mean, how can solet be an oila? Or maybe the real reason of Rabbi Shimon was because of zot torat mincha. And it doesn't say anywhere, zot torat amincha v'azevach. So what would you say? And what Rav Asi said turns out to be a rejection of all of the approaches that have Achilles heels. And Rav Asi said to Rav Hoshaya, what kind of way is that to understand something? Do you think that we have the slightest idea what Rabbi Shimon is talking about? Is that what you think? So you're basically asking, you know, what it boils down to, is Rabbi right or is Rabbi right? We don't have the slightest idea what Rabbi Shimon is talking about. Kulumi gano l'sov dato shel Rabbi Shimon. Do we understand Rabbi Shimon? Well, why does he say we don't understand? We've got three beautiful answers. No. We have zero answers. That's what Rav Asi is saying. Zero answers. Rabbah, I'm not going to believe in because of what Abaya pointed out. That was Mishum the Kash of Abaya originally. We don't really know that this was the meaning of the idea of the hekesh that the Torah made between a shalol lishma in terms of Balim or shalol lishma in terms of Hegdesh. You're taking that for granted. I don't know that. And I don't hold of Rava, because like you said, Zot Torat HaChatat he never darshan, so why would he darshan Zot Torat HaMincha? I don't believe what Rav Asi said, because of Rav Acha Bereda Rava, who pointed out, it's all very nice to talk about a Marcheshes versus a Machavat, but how does that explain a Chareva Mishum Belula? And therefore, I say, we have no idea what Rabbi Shimon holds, and I cannot therefore, extrapolate about what he would hold about a mincha l'shem zevach. So basically, we've examined all of the different possibilities. Tomorrow we'll go on with the next piece in the Mishnah, which is the difference between a minchas chote and a minchas kanos, and where we know that from and what that is. But what we did today is we went into some beautiful, deeper understandings of what the concept of Shelo Lishma would mean. How does it work? Why does the Torah answer it? If you hold Hashin and Taima Dekra, what direction is more logical to go in, to go into the violation of the Aveda, or to go into the Chashash of a general bitul of the Chashivas of Machshava for Kachim, which are very opposite approaches, and therefore we needed to understand in light of the two approaches, what would the din be in all of the variations where we were talking about ofas that were minkara, zvachim that were minkara, finally understanding that even according to the opening approach of Rabbah, where things were pretty clear, it's not that every single zevach is going to be necessarily posel shel lishma, according to Rabbi Shimon. An amazing day, which if you don't look at it from the point of view of its amazement, is a tremendously boring and torut day. And therefore, we got to do it right. Okay, everyone, it's been fun, at least for me. If Richie's smiling, then I know we've had a good day. Kol tov, everyone. Chas chizku v'imtzut.